Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verses 1 through 31. God's big lesson on getting answers from him. Psalm 66, verse 18 in the New International Version teaches that if we cherish or harbor sin in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us, that he will not answer our questions or the petitions that we bring to him in prayer. You know, when you pray to God, there's a reason for it. You want God to answer the prayer. Either answer the question or meet the provision or provide for the request that you're making. So for God to turn a deaf ear to our prayers is really something that should bother us. Well, Ezekiel chapter 20, I should have put this, verses 1 through 31. I don't know why I put 32 there, I'm sorry. 1 through 31 vividly illustrates this truth. And review the passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read it first, and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 1 through 31. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord, and they sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, In that day I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt, into the land that I espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. Then I said unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me. They would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the Gentiles, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not on my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the Gentiles, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands, because they despised my judgments, walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, You walk not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walk not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury on them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness also, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them through the nations, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths. Their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live, and I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that opened the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Yet in this your fathers have slandered me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for which I lifted up my hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices. And there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out there their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, What is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Barna, or Bama, unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord, Are you polluted after the manner of your fathers? Commit ye the whoredom after their abominations? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols even to this day. And shall I be inquired by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. I was trying to emphasize what the Lord is trying to get across. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 1, almost 11 months after the elders of Israel had last come before the prophet Ezekiel, seeking an answer from the Lord, the same elders returned to Ezekiel's house and sat before him, again seeking an answer from the Lord to the questions or the concerns that burdened them. You see, their time in Babylon is beginning to weigh on them, and that's exactly what the Lord had designed this time in Babylon to do. It's supposed to make them think hard and long. They're not back in their own country. They thought that they would just be in Babylon for a little while, and then the kings there in Israel would, you know, overcome, and they'd be able to get back. But they're beginning to live in disillusionment because they don't understand. We're in Babylon a lot longer than we thought we would be. Jeremiah had already predicted they'd be there for 70 years. They don't really believe him yet. Well, the Lord then told Ezekiel that he would not answer their questions. In fact, God rhetorically asked Ezekiel if he would judge them. And the rhetorical question essentially says, judge these people. In other words, aren't you going to judge them? Aren't you going to judge them? To explain this extremely negative response toward the elders, God recounted his past dealings with Israel down through history, revealing that Israel's current generation was even more rebellious against him than were their forefathers. You know, one of the things we learn about God, he has a very long memory. He doesn't forget anything. He's got a long, long memory. In fact, the Bible says that someday when we stand before the Lord, we're going to give an account for every idle word that we say. That's heavy. And God keeps meticulous records. All the hairs on our head are numbered, the Bible says. Of course, that's easier with some than others. But nevertheless, God keeps meticulous records and he never forgets anything. Well, first of all, God told how the people of Israel had rebelled against him in Egypt. This is kind of new because we didn't know that there was rebellion in Egypt. We knew that there was rebellion when they got out into the wilderness. But in Egypt, this is new to us. When the Lord, with uplifted hand, solemnly swore to be Israel's God while they were in Egyptian bondage. That's how they would swear. They would lift their hand, much like we do in a court of law. You're supposed to raise your right hand and, you know, repeat after me. Well, this is a practice that goes way, way back to the ancient Near East. So God had lifted up his hand to swear that he would be their God while they were in Egyptian bondage. He called them to cast away their false idols. However, the people rebelled against the Lord and even held on to the idols of their Egyptian overlords, infuriating the Lord into making him want to punish them. You know, this is an amazing thing. They're still holding on to the Egyptian gods, but the very plagues of Egypt were plagues that overcame or critiqued the gods of Egypt. The frogs, the lice, the river Egypt, these were all things that were gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And yet, when the people of Israel came out, even though God had demonstrated his complete sovereignty over their false gods, they were still clinging onto these Egyptian gods. That doesn't make sense, but that's what they were doing. Nevertheless, for his own name's sake, that is to protect his reputation before the lost Gentile world and fulfilling his promise to his people, the Lord brought Israel up out of Egypt with great power. Now, we know from testimonies of people like Rahab the harlot and others, there were Gentiles who knew. In fact, the Philistines later on talked about the plagues of Egypt. And how, remember when they took the ark and everything? They said, you better be careful how you handle the ark, because remember what God did to the Egyptians when Israel's down in Egypt. So the Philistines and then Rahab the harlot referred to God's huge and marvelous works of the plagues in Egypt, and Rahab the harlot talked about how God had caused them to cross the Red Sea. And then he had just brought them across the Jordan River, you know, parting this. And this was seen in front of the entire nation. In fact, the Jordan River backed up in a great big heap 15 miles upstream. And the Jordan was then at the flood stage, so the Jordan was probably sticking up several thousand feet in the air. You could probably see this body of water all over the land of Palestine. And of course, it absolutely petrified the Canaanites who were living there. But God had very publicly brought his people out of the land of Egypt. So that's why he was protecting his reputation. He was going to do good to his Israel because he had promised to bring them out. So he's bringing them out because he's fulfilling his own word. At the same time, he's very angry at them because they're not obeying him. So there's this ambivalent feeling on God's part as he's bringing them out. Then God told how Israel had rebelled on the journey from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, which is in the desert area south of the Dead Sea. When the Lord had brought Israel into the wilderness out of Egypt, he gave her his law, directing that if the people would observe it, they would live by its rules and be blessed of God. However, they refused to obey God's laws, as especially illustrated in their pollution of the Sabbath day restriction to where God again wanted to destroy them in the wilderness. It's interesting, when God had given the Sabbath, God had told them, all right, you're supposed to go out every day and pick it up. And some people didn't go out and pick it up, or they went out and they picked up a whole lot and they wanted to keep it for the next day, and then it bred worms and stank. So they thought, well, this doesn't last very long. So on the day before the Sabbath, God said, now I want you to take up twice as much because I'm going to make sure that it's preserved over the Sabbath so you don't have to go out and work. Well, they didn't believe that the manna would retain its freshness, so they didn't pick up twice as much on Friday. So on Saturday, which is, you know, the Sabbath, they went out to find some. They couldn't find any. And God was absolutely beside himself with fury. He says, when are they going to obey me? You know, I told them to go out and pick it up and pick up twice as much on Friday, but not keep it over every day, except I would keep it over on Friday and into the Saturday. When are they going to obey me? So, and also, Moses was up on the mount getting the law. And the people, since he was up there for 40 days, they turned after idols. Remember Aaron? He made the golden calf, and they started worshiping the golden calf. Moses comes down, he sees the golden calf, and he's infuriated. So he takes the Ten Commandments, throws them down and breaks them. So God says, all right, from now on, you carve out the tables, and you write the law. So he had to write it. But, you know, even when God was giving them the law, they were just disobeying the Lord. Yet, to protect his reputation before the Gentile world, once again, God did not destroy Israel. The Lord still punished the older generation, promising to destroy them in the wilderness, but he did not destroy the nation entirely, salvaging Israel's younger generation and protect his reputation. The older generation had failed to trust God 10 times. So God says, all right, that's enough. You're going to have to die out in the wilderness, but I'll work with the younger generation. So the Lord told how even the younger generation rebelled against him in the wilderness in verses 18 to 26. God then urged the younger generation in Israel to obey his word for blessing. But the younger generation rebelled against him, infuriating the Lord like their fathers had done. Once again, the Lord refused to destroy them to protect his reputation. However, he warned that he would scatter them among the nations, giving them over to their sins and judgment were they to continue to sin against him. The Lord explained how Israel had rebelled against him even upon entering the land of Canaan. God then told how Israel in Ezekiel's era was even more rebellious against him than the fathers. The Lord noted how Israel's people, even in Ezekiel's era, practiced the idolatry of their fathers, but they were worse than their fathers. They gave their children as sacrifices to pagan gods. Now, I think a couple of generations earlier than this, they were doing that as well. But in Ezekiel's day, this is going on, and it was rampant. The pagan belief was that if you would give up, let's say, your eldest child, the first child that was born, if you give it up as a sacrifice to the god, then the other children would be saved from debilitating diseases and deformities and whatnot. So they would sacrifice their first child, whether it was a boy or a girl, and then they would go ahead and have more children. That was the pagan belief. It was a terrible belief. In fact, they've actually unearthed and found infant skeletons down in this valley, the Valley of Hinnom, all around Jerusalem, where there must have been thousands of infants that were burned that way. So it was a tragic, tragic situation. So accordingly, God again refused to answer the questions of Israel's elders, for they intended to be like the Gentile nations around them in worshiping idols made of mere wood and stone. After noting how Israel's people in Ezekiel's day gave their children up as human sacrifices to pagan idols, God again asked if Israel's elders would dare come before him to inquire of him. The idea is, well, you guys have a lot of chutzpah coming in front of me asking, you know, questions from me, and you've been taking your infant children and burning them in the fire. So God then swore he would not answer them. In other words, don't even think about the fact I'm going to answer you. I'm not going to answer you. Not with this type of sin. And you're following a long series of generations that have fallen into this trap. So the lesson is, when Israel's elders again sought to receive an answer from the Lord recounted the nation's long history of rebelling against him with multiple heinous sins as his great reasons for not answering their petitions. So, if we want answers to prayer, we must confess our sins to God and turn from them. Notice I say, and turn from it. It's not just, God doesn't want us to use prayer as like a rabbit's foot where it's a confessional and then it's going to good luck charm and we keep doing our sinning. And no, that God doesn't like that. If we sin, fine, yes, confess it, but then turn from sin. God wants us to stop it. Now, if we wonder why God does not answer our prayers, we must review his past dealings with us to discern the reason why. Now, there's more than one reason why God doesn't answer prayers. Harboring sin is one reason. 1 John also tells us that we have to pray within the will of God. We have to pray in alignment with what God's word says. So that's another reason. So we have to keep it in mind that sin is not the only reason. But if we're not getting answers to the prayer, the first area we should check is our hearts and lives to see if there is sin. All right? And then go that. And then beyond that, if we're not aware of any sin, God doesn't point out any sin, then we can go down the other avenue. And we can look at scriptures and find out, you know, are we praying within the will of God and so forth, and the timing of God. Sometimes the timing of God is such that he doesn't want to answer our prayer now. He's working on something else. And if he answers the prayer now, it's going to mess up what he's trying to do in someone else's life. So he'll wait. But at the right moment, he starts to answer. And sometimes when he starts to answer, he does it with breathtaking speed. It's amazing. Very, very fast. So, but the first thing we need to do is to check our hearts and make sure that we're not sinning against the Lord.